Last week we did this in one take. This time, so far, this is our fifth take, I think.
It's harder.
A bad start, then something that wasn't very funny, and then we just had a child interruption. So hopefully we can carry on quickly from here.
Yeah.
Good to be with you. And our theme for today is repentance, building on from Andrew's talk on Sunday and forgiveness.
Yeah.
Brilliant testimony from Liz attached to this email. Really powerful. Yeah. And then we've got that image of the Miami police kneeling down in front of the protesters. And it's obviously this is obviously a massive subject of the race issues in America, which we also have aspects of in the UK here. They're not simple, and we don't want to simplify them. And they're obviously very long lived as well. And they're not just about recent events. They go back a long time and right into the fabric of society. But to take just that image of the police kneeling in front of the protesters and to kind of compare that to other cities and parts of America where police have charged through protesters aggressively. Isn't there a difference in terms of the atmosphere and in terms of the fruit and in terms of what happens? Mm. You know, I think there've been a few places where the police have knelt and said sorry. And some of the responses, I think one of them might've been in New York, was that the crowd, sort of the protesters chanting, thank you, instead. And times when the protesters and police were hugging each other and there were tears and an amazing disarming, of a horrible situation. And that's only obviously the start of things. There's a whole lot more that needs to follow in terms of resolving what's wrong in society. But just isn't that extraordinary, that response from the police in that setting of repentance and saying sorry, compared to where they don't, and things just flare up and just carry on and get worse. And that's really quite a powerful example, really, of this extraordinary thing of repentance. And what we've found is we've been living in these tools within Living Free for the last 15 years or so. I think for us, it's been an extraordinary realization that what Jesus did on the cross, yes, it obviously gives us a hope and a future in eternity, but it's a very material freedom and peace and joy that we can inhabit now.
Yeah.
And repentance and forgiveness are really immediate.
Really immediate.
They often take some working through, and for that repentance of those Miami police to be thorough, it requires law change, doesn't it? It requires an ongoing systemic change within the structures of the fabric of society. So it's an ongoing work there, but it's the same thing for us. Often there's a walking out that needs to happen, but it's really that we can take hold of the reality of Jesus' death and resurrection in a very powerful way in everyday life.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's really that humans have been delegated authority. That wasn't a joke, it wasn't an accident, God didn't take it back. So we have authority to make or break our lives and other people's lives. And that is non-negotiable, that God hasn't changed his mind on that. What he's done in his death and resurrection is enabled us to have authority to release life again by humility, acknowledging and taking responsibility where we go wrong. By being able to ask forgiveness and receive forgiveness, we can actually be restored to God. And that's the breakthrough, that's the difference. But we can also authorize horrendous things because humans have authority, and we need to recognize that. So in my extremely trivial example last week, and I understand, and we don't want to trivialize at all sin and injustice, but what we want to do is get to the nuts and bolts of those everyday little frustrations we have, because if we can deconstruct there, then we can deconstruct big systemic injustices.
Yeah.
Is actually, I went through the five R's that Andrew spoke about on Sunday. I'd really recommend maybe listen to his talk again, ask God for a clarity or a revelation again.
Page 57 in our manual. 56-57, and it goes through there. Really good.
Well, no, I was just saying that I recognised I'd lost my peace and joy. I wasn't in a good place. I repented, I took personal responsibility for where I'd contributed to that by believing a lie. I received forgiveness both from God and from Chris and the children. I rebuked the enemy in that I could recognise that he's out to rob, kill and destroy marriages, relationships with children, and he's out to rob, kill and destroy our lives and our peace and our joy. But critically, and I want us to really get this, because sometimes I think we forget this with repentance, and Andrew brilliantly went into it again on Sunday, is the replacement. That's the critical factor. That's how you know you've repented, because you're actually walking in the opposite spirit, which is actually in alignment with your design, purpose, calling, where we're, in a sense, the sin is walking in the opposite direction of God. It's walking in injustice, it's walking in impatience, it's walking in believing lies, it's walking in pride, or whatever the thing is. We get the revelation and we turn around and we walk back in alignment in God's ways, which are marked by humility, compassion, gentleness, kindness, and so on. And the replacement for me is having the confidence on the very particular issue that I spoke about last week. So if you didn't watch that video or have forgotten it, it was just really what I do on Friday afternoons, which sounds so small, but actually that's where, as I said, the devil's in the detail, all the glory of God. I have to every Friday keep in step with what the Spirit's doing and ask him, is this still what repentance looks like for me, in trusting in you to provide me the time I need to do what I think I need to do. And so this Friday again, I came to lunch and it was so tempting to just work through. And again, I felt God say, no, trust me, this is how I want you to live. I want you to replace that lie that I can't provide time for you. I haven't seen this issue. I'm not there for you with the reality, of course, that I'm fully present. I'm above time. I can bring time to you. And I want you to relax into a really sustainable way of life. And in our case, a great kind of 24-hour rest as a family. So it's the replacement that's critical. It will be critical personally. It will be critical systemically. There needs to be a replacement attitude, not just, sorry, we did the wrong thing. I actually don't like the word sorry, personally. A repentance is, what will it look like in the UK and in America and in our own hearts to actively walk in the opposite spirit of blessing in terms of race relations and all those other systemic injustices, actually pouring in, actually serving. That, to me, is the heart condition of true repentance, is a real breaking through into the opposite spirit. So whether it's personally or systemically, we need to be listening to the Holy Spirit for his creative solutions for walking in the opposite spirit, or in a sense, back in our original design and purpose.
So we know, don't we, that being a follower of Jesus, or being a disciple of Jesus, whichever term we use, means to be a lifelong learner. We recognise that we're being constantly changed and shaped and learning and growing and becoming more like our Lord, our Master, the one we worship, Jesus Christ. And through the rest of our life, we'll do that. We'll continue to be shaped and formed to be like him. And it's that wonderful period of growth and change, lifetime of growth and change. And these tools were really, such a key part of that, repentance and forgiveness. For a long time, I would say, let's say that I find a thing, a relationship with someone distressing or disturbing, or, a particular scenario. And I might say, hey, please, would you pray for me for this? And we sort of lay hands on and say, Lord, I'm sorry, this is such a sad time for Chris, because this person's so unkind to him, and I just pray that you help him, amen. There's nice sympathy and empathy and compassion in that prayer, but there is an opportunity missed, which is to take hold of the cross in that moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's to say, actually, Chris, forgive that person, let it go. And hear from Liz's story about how we do that.
Yeah.
Or if I've been at fault, it's actually, Chris, don't ask God to help you. You need to repent.
Yeah.
let's not say God comfort and encourage. Let's say repent. Mm. And repentance is a beauty. It's not a religious thing. It's a beautiful. Mm. It's like shaking off the chains that are holding us back from freedom. It's just it's opening the prison door and walking out. It's an amazing gift. And so I would encourage you, in your life this week, look for opportunities, hunt out opportunities to repent and forgive, rather than just sit in a strop or find life hard or be downcast, or whatever it is. Those things that are so easy for us to sit in and be weighed down with, thinking it's just normal life.
Yeah.
Actually, there's a lot more freedom that we can live in through walking with the cross in daily life by repentance and forgiveness. So that's a challenge. Look for opportunities, hunt them out this week.
And I've just got a couple of questions that if you're not in a good place, if you're, you know, maybe you've lost your peace, frustrated, whatever, or any of us have, when that happens to us. First one is, if we know it's something we've done wrong, and there's a recognition there, what does it look like to walk in the opposite spirit? Not just say, oh, I'm sorry I did that, but what is actually the opposite spirit? And it will look practical, it will look material, it will look like your body doing something in the opposite. It's unbelievably incarnational. Jesus came in human form and showed us what humanity is like. So what does it look like to walk in the opposite spirit? And the second one, am I holding unforgiveness? It's quite extraordinary, in the whole of the human condition and all the ways we can go wrong, the one thing that blocks our full presence and connection and intimacy with God is not forgiving someone. And he said that very clearly. He says it a number of times. That is the place of torture and torment. So it may be that if we're battling with some lowness or some kind of torment or frustration, just ask God, is there unforgiveness in my life? And call it into the light and process it properly. When the issue of the race riots first came up a few days ago in America, I immediately had this picture of a massive tree with very deep roots. And I felt like this is, the injustice here is systemic, it's long-term and it's complex. It is not something, you don't just break off a branch and hope it will be okay. It will require extraordinarily sensitive, thoughtful, considered, a long period of time to uproot that tree of injustice. So I'm not in any way saying if there is a pattern where you know you hold unforgiveness towards someone, you can just click your fingers and make it better. What I am saying is, if this is the season for God to expose a root of bitterness within you, let him do it. Ask him to show you how to dig it up. But you have been given authority to forgive. In fact, Jesus says right at the end of John, if you forgive anyone their sins, they're forgiven. That is our priestly mandate. Mm. So if we declare forgiveness over someone for what they've done to us, we release God's forgiveness, his peace, his healing, his joy to them. And that is the kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven. So I'd really encourage you. Firstly, what does it look like to walk in the opposite spirit? And secondly, am I holding any unforgiveness towards someone? God, help me process this pain to a place of release, forgiveness and blessing.
Great. So that's it really. I think that we'll finish there. It's basically look for these opportunities to repent and forgive. Yeah. Those are our key. And by looking at ourselves like this, we're not being overly introspective. Mm. We're actually, because the way, when we walk in peace with these things, that will affect our homes, our communities, our workplaces, and you know, a national scale. This, you know, these principles can be worked out on a national scale, and that it's taking hold of the gospel in a very practical way in everyday life. So as always, we'd love to hear. We've got a story coming from Nat of the impact some of this stuff has had on him, and it'll be good to see that. Keep sending in stories of how things are going for you. We'd love to be able to share those with all of us. Can we just quickly pray for America and at the moment, you know, finish by doing that. Lord, we, you know, our theme for One Church, One Day this month is things being shaken, and so that what cannot be shaken, you know, may remain. Yeah. And we pray that the shaking that's happening, particularly in America at the moment, we pray that it roots out systemic racism. Yeah. And we pray that it's brought into the light in such a way that it's overcome and it's changed.
Amen.
Thank you for the victories that came about through Nelson Mandela in South Africa, and where there's still more to go there. But we just say, may your Holy Spirit bring healing and restoration in the US and also for ourselves here in Bristol and in the UK. Help us to rebuild society here, rebuild our city in a way that has racial justice at its heart. Maybe be a city of unity. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Great.
Bless you loads.
Yeah.
Love you loads. We love our culture at Hope. We love everyone's openness, honesty, vulnerability. This is the church I always dreamed of when I was growing up, that people would just be transparent and open and real. And we just love that we get to be in a community where everyone's singing off that same song sheet. It's an amazing privilege.
It's really special. Mm-hmm.